Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, August 17th, the year 2015, the day after Jason Day gets his first major champion win at the PGA Championship. We will recap the PGA Championship coming up in 4 minutes. Our friend Sean Davidson will be with us to talk about that and everything else that occurred this weekend at Whistling Straits in Kohler, Wisconsin. We are going to start by focusing on quarterbacks that are misbehaving, specifically Mr. Geno Smith, after his little brush with a linebacker that saw his jaw being punched. And there's been a lot of talk in recent days about who is at fault. And my point from the beginning has been this is not about who is at fault. It is about preventing these problems in the first place. A quarterback's responsibility is not to get in these squabbles. It is why Peyton Manning has never gotten near a fight, will never get near a fight. And as competitive as Peyton is, he is the least likely person to end up in a trouble spot. That's where we need to go. You know? As a as a person, you need to avoid conflict. You need to avoid getting in the middle of situations that can cause havoc. Eli Manning does it. Peyton Manning does it. Ben Roethlisberger does it on the field. Ben has some problems off the field, so that's probably a bad example. Aaron Rodgers does it. Let's see here. Tom Brady did it until the flight gate. Andrew Luck's doing it. Tony Romo has done all of Tony Romo's problems have been on-field complaints versus off-field issues. And you got to stay focused 110% of the time every single day of the year that you're in that building to not succumbing to outside pressure. And that's the situation these guys are in. They succumbed to expectations. They succumbed to what was thought of them. And it's they forgot the expectations from the outside. They succumbed to pressure from the inside, and thus we had squabbles. That's the problem. People are just what Geno did. Even if IK never gave him a shot to defend himself, you have to pay up. Pay the $600. We'd be done with this already. I'd be leading a monologue with something else. The inability for people to make smart decisions boggles the heck out of me. Sean Davidson, who joins us now, we talked about this for weeks with Jameis Winston. It's about making positive decisions, and for some reason, Geno Smith does not make positive decisions. And when you don't make positive decisions that unfortunately take the attention from on the field to off the field, your teammates turn on you, and that's the next thing to watch in that Jet locker room when Geno gets better, is how his teammates react to him, because clearly this has touched a nerve. On a more positive note, our friend Sean Davison now joins us to talk golf in a year that has been filled with extremely classy winners. Hello, Sean.
How's it going, Jeremy?
I'm good. You know, a lot of people have said this in the last 48 hours, and it's true. We've had a very lucky year in terms of classy, good guys getting in the winner's circle golf-wise.
Yep. I mean, for a long time, I think ever since Jordan Spieth won John Deere a couple of years ago, the golf world's been in love with the kid, and rightfully so. He does everything right on the course, off the course, and at the same time, everybody's sort of fallen for Jason Day. He's always been, in a way, the lovable loser. He's come up so close at Augusta. He's contended in just about every major time and time again, and really hadn't won until, well, yesterday. And you look also at Zach Johnson. He's one of the classier guys. You go back a long time. Zach is another one of those guys that everybody just loves and has nothing bad to say about. So in terms of major champions, I don't think this year could have been much better.
Let's delve into yesterday. And Sean, I thought from the get-go that what Jason Day did at the RBC Canadian Open was crucial. That when he got that putt to the hole in the 72nd hole, he alleviated a lot of demons. And this was now a freed up Jason Day to go out there and compete and get done what he had to get done. And clearly, he showed a confidence in his game and a swagger in his game that I don't think we've seen before on Sundays at majors.
No, I totally agree. And he did what champions do. You don't always win, but you learn from when you don't, and you apply it for next time. And, you know, he didn't get the putt to the hole at St. Andrews. He turned around and drilled the winning putt dead center on 18 in Canada. That's a good boost of confidence. And that's, you know, it's character building, what happened to him at St. Andrews, what's happened to him at Augusta, battling through vertigo at the U.S. Open. And it all just sort of melded together, and this was his time. He was the front runner, and he didn't fold whatsoever at the PGA. It was good to see.
We've talked a lot about intimidation factor over the years, and there's a train of thought that these guys, that this new class doesn't have the intimidation factor that the guys that played up against Tiger would have. And you would think that if somebody did have an intimidation factor of Jordan Spieth, that would have showed in these last two majors, but clearly Zach Johnson has no fear of anybody. And he went out there and was able to post a stout round and survive the playoff. And then yesterday, playing alongside Jordan, Jason didn't show that he was intimidated by Mr. Spieth either.
No, I think we've come to a time in golf in general where they're finding that there's more important things to life than being the scariest, most intimidating guy out there. Sure, you want to win, but at the same time, even Tiger himself has sort of shifted his focus. And the way Tiger is now, he's more of a family man. He's got more of a focus on being popular amongst his peers, engaging with his peers, being a good guy out on tour. And you know, before, I mean, I don't want to say Tiger was focused on being the bad guy, but at the same time, he really didn't care what people thought of him as long as he won. You don't see that mentality out there anymore. A lot of guys are coming in with perspective, and because they come in with perspective and they want to make sure that they do the right things on and off the golf course and that they represent themselves and their families well, that, you know, you've got a bunch of guys in a very inclusive atmosphere, a very strong sense of community out there where, yeah, nobody's really intimidated by anybody, but nobody really seems to care. They all want to win, but at the same time, they're all genuinely happy for each other when the other one does.
I thought that what Jordan Spieth did yesterday, especially on the second nine, was really impressive. He put his ball in some interesting spots and recovered. He didn't make anything around the turn, and look, he was right. He wasn't catching anybody, but he missed some putts around the turn, held tight, kept competing, hit what is one of the best bunker shots you'll ever see on 16. I mean, if he wins, that's a shot of the year candidate, may still be a shot of the year candidate. I mean, he just hit some ridiculous shots, and it kind of showed the class that his game had, that even on a day where he knew he probably wasn't going to catch Jason there with 9 or 10 to play, he kept fighting.
Yeah, and that's a real testament to Jordan Spieth's mentality, and that's what a lot of people do love about him. He's a very classy gentleman, but at the same time, he has a very never-say-die attitude about himself. He will never count himself out. He will give everything 110%, even when his back is in the wall or he's shoved into a corner. He made that huge putt after that to make that up and down the hole before he had to splash out of the bunker, and then he had that insane bunker shot where he was standing out of the bunker and, you know, the ball was way below his feet and anything inside 20 feet would have been acceptable, but he hit it inside 20 inches. I mean, in the words of Gary McCord, the kid really is like a Swiss Army knife. You open him up and there's all kinds of things inside. There isn't a thing he doesn't have. And he's just phenomenal. And I think it really showed yesterday, even when it didn't look at all likely that anybody was catching Jason Day, he fought anyway. He shot 68 in the final round, trailing somebody by a couple shots, which in many cases would be good enough. It just wasn't good enough that day. Jason Day was out on a mission, and he was going to win that tournament regardless.
That he was. And I mean, what Justin Rose did this year in the majors and what he did this week and what Jordan did this week wins majors in most years. And I found something Jordan said afterwards fascinating. You know, somebody asked him, you were 4 shots away from the Grand Slam, and he also said, I was very close to having only 1 major if Dustin makes that putt. So there's multiple ways of looking at a major season, and I think that, yeah, what happened at St. Andrews will frustrate Jordan, but when he sits down at the end of the year and you know, realizes he's got 4 wins so far. He's got a huge lead in the FedEx Cup. And even though those points get reset after the BMW Championship, if he can keep playing this way, he should make it tough for those guys to beat him at the Tour Championship. And obviously winning the FedEx Cup would be yet another achievement. He's now number 1 in the world. He's got a lot to be proud of this year.
Oh, absolutely. It seems like yesterday that I saw the kid splashing out of a bunker and holing out at John Deere, and now here he is number 1 in the world. It seems like yesterday I was out at Innisbrook watching him get up and down from everywhere and anywhere coming down the stretch, where it looked like yet another golf tournament was coming out of his hands coming down the closing stretch, and we were about to wonder, why can't Jordan Spieth close on a Sunday? He managed to pull it out. He got up and down from everywhere, trash cans, whatever. I mean, he could have gotten up and down out of a trash can, a cement truck, whatever, on the back nine at Innisbrook and in that playoff, and he ended up winning that. And then lo and behold, he wins 2 majors, wins John Deere again, becomes the number 1 player in the world, nearly wins the PGA, nearly wins the Open Championship. I mean, you think about what he did this year in major championships. I read this online. He faced 561 combined competitors over the course of the majors this year. He was beaten by 4. I mean, it's just mind-boggling what he did. And to consider the fact that, yeah, that tournament at the Open Championship was in his hands the moment he birdied 16 and the moment he bogeyed 17, he had to play catch-up. But through 70 holes of the Open Championship, he was firmly in control. And then you think about the PGA, you know, you shoot 68 on Sunday, you like to think that's enough when you're trying to play catch-up, and a guy who's leading has never won a major. But again, Jason Day was just too good. And I think the fact that Jason Day was just too good at the PGA will help remove the sting at the Open Championship. Because if Jordan Spieth wins the PGA and comes that close at the Open Championship, he'll think about bogeying 17 at the road hole. He'll think about overspinning his approach into 18 and how it kept him out of that playoff that, who knows, he might have won. But you really can't come up with enough superlatives about Jordan Spieth and the way he played this year, and I feel honored that I got to sort of watch where it launched, because I watched him at Doral and he played okay, and he told us all there, you know, my game feels better than it's ever been, I just can't seem to get the results. And lo and behold, a week later, he gets that first win, and then he wins the Masters, then he wins the U.S. Open, and we're off to the races. Just an amazing talent, and we're all very fortunate to see him become the young man and the professional golfer that he's becoming right now.
Absolutely, and I don't think enough people are talking about talking about the Tampa win, because if you think about it, what happened at Tampa, I thought was huge for him. He had not performed up to snuff. He had to sit down with Michael at some point, I think that week, if I'm not mistaken. He goes out there, does not have his A game, ends up in a playoff with Patrick Reed and Sean O'Hare, and especially Reed, who at this point had, you know, won Hyundai earlier in the year, which I think has been forgotten as his game has struggled and the Shane Ryan book has taken so many headlines. But here's somebody who is a bona fide competitor, and he ended up in that arena, in a hugely tense arena, and converted shot after shot after shot after shot. And that finish got lost when the players happened. But to me, it is not only one of the more exciting finishes of the year, it's one of the more crucial finishes of the year for the progression of Jordan Spieth.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, not only for the year, it's one of the most crucial finishes, if not the most, for his career. Because if you lose that tournament, the next thing you know, you're in a bit of a tailspin heading into Texas, and who knows what happens. Because the bottom line is, if he would have let that tournament slip away, we would not be doing our job if we didn't talk about what is wrong with him, why can't he get the job done on Sunday. Because it would have been a trend of him having 54 hole leads or being in the final group after 54 and just not getting the job done. He won John Deere from behind. So it really would have had to be a topic of conversation. And the way the media is, I mean, if it wasn't already in his mind, it would have been put in his mind heading into tournaments like Augusta and heading into Houston, where he actually did sort of falter coming down the stretch in Houston as well. It was more than just the biggest finish of the year for him. It was the biggest finish of his career. And it was the biggest finish, I think, for that tournament in particular, because that really, with Valspar coming on board and with that tournament struggling for sponsorship on such a wonderful track at Innisbrook, it really needed something like that to draw eyes to it, to bring attention back to it, and to really elevate its status back on the PGA Tour. And I think that was huge for everybody involved, for Jordan, for Innisbrook, for the Tour, for NBC. It was great.
Let's go through some other guys now. Dustin Johnson has to be disappointed. Yes, he valiantly rallied back yesterday. But what happened at the U.S. Open? What happened at the Open Championship 75-75? And to me, it's not so much what happened here when you lose a first-round lead, because people lose first-round leads all the time. That's no big deal. But to be in the spot that he was on Sunday and to open up with an 8 is just almost like, here we go again. It just, It stunned me. I was genuinely stunned and somewhat disappointed that this is what we got out of Dustin Johnson.
Oh, no, absolutely. You could tell. I don't know how to say this nicely. You could tell there was a lack of focus and a lack of desire on that last day. It was almost like he came to the course conceding the fact that Jason Day was too far in front, which he was regardless. But still, you know, you like to see guys show up with a little fire, a little fight. And all it took for him to come unraveled on that first hole was the fact that he drew a bad lie over the green. The shot pretty much covered the flag stick. It was the wrong club, flew the green, and bad lie. And next thing you know, he's taking a snowman on a par 4 that really, you know, bogey might be something that you could understand, but it really didn't play that tough all week long. Credit him to finally figure out how to play on Sunday despite the 8, but it was disappointing. It's been a disappointing year for Dustin Johnson, as you mentioned, the way the U.S. Open unfolded. He had no excuse not to win at St. Andrews. The way he plays and the way he played in the first couple of days on a course that really does benefit long hitters. It's just a curious question as to what goes on with DJ in majors, especially on the weekend in majors. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The first major he wins is going to be from behind, and that's going to be the one that might actually open up the floodgates, because then the next time he leads, he'll think, okay, I've won a major before, I know what it takes, and that might help settle him down. But the first one, I feel at this point, is going to have to be from behind.
You know, that brought up an interesting spot for me, because there was a knock on Jordan Spieth for a while that he was best coming from behind. And lo and behold, 2015, I think, has changed everything you could say about Jordan Spieth to say he is a complete player and can win doing anything, everything, and could probably win some golf tournaments in only three clubs. But just funny to think about how much has changed when it comes to our perception of Jordan Spieth over these last 8, 9, 10 months. Tiger's going to play the Wyndham Championship this week, final event of the regular season, basically in a winner-go-home scenario. Got to either win or finish solo second and get some help to make the FedEx Cup playoff. I think this is a great move. I know Sedgefield may not set up great for him, but I think he owes it to himself, the PGA Tour, the fans, and everybody else to just keep playing golf. And the argument that I've made, Sean, is that because he was part of the Turkey 7 and has to play the Fries.com contractually, and because he's playing the America's Cup with Matt Kuchar, he is in a position now where he needs to stay up, so to speak, not start some long vacation, not start some long, business engagement flying all over the world. He needs to basically stay game ready for a two-month stretch here. So he will now play, he played last week, he'll play this week. If he wins, which I don't think will be likely, he obviously moves on. But I would love to see him play a Web.com Tour finals event the week that's opposite the playoffs off week, and then keep going in the fall slate. And I just feel that if Tiger can get some momentum here, because that's what he keeps saying, he needs reps, and yes, he's a single father of two, but at some point, your golf game, and you know what the prescription is, and you have to take that prescription at some point. And I just feel that Tiger has a window here to get 5-6 events in over this next 6-8 week period that could really help catapult him towards 2016.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you that Sedgefield and the Wyndham Championship is a good move by Tiger. And correct me if I'm wrong, is Sedgefield one of the longer courses, or is it one of the shorter courses? Because I believe I heard it's sort of like an Ennis Brook, where you don't necessarily have to hit a bunch of drivers. And if that's the case, Tiger might actually benefit from something like that, because his ball striking's been fine. So if he plays well and he strikes the ball as well as he has been and he doesn't have to use the driver, he might actually do something at Sedgefield and build his own confidence. I like the move. I think it's good for the tour. I think it's good for Sedgefield. I think it's good for Wyndham. I think it's great for Tiger. I don't see him playing in Web.com Tour events. He's humbled himself a lot. I don't think he's humbled himself that much, if I can be completely honest. But you might see him play in Europe. You might see him try a European Tour event. I don't mind that thought at all. But this is huge for him. I mean, this is President's Cup points on the line, FedEx Cup points on the line, and he keeps talking about the need to make progress. And I'm glad to hear him actually admit that it's not all about winning for him, because when you come to the course with the mantra that you want to win and that you believe you're going to win, and then you shoot 75-75 and go home on Friday, I mean, we can't take you at your word anymore. So he's at least being honest with us and a little bit more transparent. The only way he's going to make that progress he desires is not playing at Medalist every single day or working on the range or the little course he has in his backyard. He needs to go out and play in tournaments. And if it means he misses a few cuts, that's fine. Get yourself tournament ready and PGA Tour event ready on a consistent basis, as consistently as you can, while you still uphold your obligations as a father and as a businessman. And find that balance and get out there, because the longer you take to get out there on a consistent basis, the longer it's going to take to get your game more consistent. That's just the way it is. And Tiger needs to get out there on a more consistent basis, and I think the Wyndham is a good start for him. I just hope that the Wyndham brings in some temporary stands or something, because they're going to need it.
Yeah, 7,071 yards. The biggest knock and why some people found this so fascinating is that Sedgefield, which is a very historic golf course. Hogan's played there, Nelson's played there, Snead's played there, and Mark Brazil, who is the tournament director, was pointing out to PGAtour.com today that for Tiger to to come to such a historic venue means so much to him and to that area. But the knock on this Donald Walsh design is that it's tight. Now, obviously, Tiger, who's been hitting it all over the map, he cannot afford to go wayward. But as you said, much like Tampa, you don't have to hit driver here. It's about being in the right spot and not the farthest spot. Here's a question for you. Phil Mickelson said after yesterday that he's sick of saying he's close, that he finally found his form, but that he's sick of making stupid mistakes. He has a goal right now, which is the President's Cup. He wants to make the President's Cup on points. He's never been a captain's pick for either the Ryder or President's Cup and doesn't want to become one. Do you think Tiger has a tangible goal in place deep down?
I think deep down, I don't know. I feel like deep down Tiger is irked by the fact that he's sitting in the hundreds in the world. I think his first tangible goal is to get himself out of the three-digit territory. I think for him, I think another tangible goal is...
Today.
What was that?
Sorry.
Sorry
about that. 285 today for Tiger's world ranking.
Yeah, not great. So I think that's the first tangible goal, is to get yourself out of the three-digit territory, which is, I mean, he's really never been there since he even turned pro. And then the next tangible goal is to win something. Win somewhere. It doesn't have to be a major. I mean, put four good rounds together, I think, is actually even a more tangible goal. And if you do that, you're going to get yourself out of the hundreds because you're going to finish good somewhere. So he needs to put four good rounds together. He got three together at his own tournament in Virginia. So if he can get that fourth good round together somehow, some way, put together a tournament, that's going to be good for his confidence. That's going to boost him up in world golf rankings. And you're going to start to see him come out of that tailspin that he's in. I think we're starting to slowly see signs of progress. It's hard to say that when he misses the cut in three majors of the year, but you look at where he was shooting 82 in Phoenix and 85 at Jack's tournament, and now he's shooting 75 in majors, striking the ball pretty well, not making putts. At least this you can sort of work with and you can sort of come back from. So I think his tangible goals are to play more, to get himself and put four rounds together on a golf course, get himself out of the hundreds, and then try to keep putting himself in positions to win. I think at this point in time, once you get yourself back in the two-digit area, it's no different than when you've come back from just an injury. And in a way, he still is coming back from a bunch of injuries. And, you know, he did it in 08, he did it in 09, he did it again, you know, in 2010, coming back from the scandal. I mean, you can sort of put yourself back in that mentality of what you need to do to get yourself back on track. And Tiger knows what he needs to do, and I feel like he's got his goals in place to do so. I just don't know what they are.
Final question, and it's a very fun one. On New Year's Eve, when all of us are watching the ball drop in Times Square, the number one player in the world will be?
The number one player in the world will be...
If you got to think that guy Rory McIlroy, who is going to be very motivated.
Yeah, and Rory coming back from that injury and finishing 17th at the PGA was a huge statement. I mean, you don't typically see guys come back from injury and play that well unless you're Tiger Woods playing on one leg at Torrey Pines. But I still think Jordan Spieth is going to do what he needs to do. I just have this feeling Jordan Spieth will still be the number one player in the world. Maybe Rory will take it back. It's going to be one of those two. But I think, as we've talked about earlier this week, I think with Jason Day winning a major, he's finally escalated himself up into a legitimate and locked number three position, and we might be seeing the beginning of a new young big three with Spieth, McIlroy, and Day.
Ron Davidson, thanks as always for coming on Teeing It Up. It's so great to have you talk golf as always.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Always a pleasure.
We will see you next week. Enjoy your evening, everybody. And thanks for listening to Teeing It Up on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network.